All right, for the benefit of those who aren't here and listening, I'm going to repeat your question. So my good student, JD, has asked a question. If one is doing his or her prescribed duty and dedicating it to Krishna, how does one maintain that, even though that person may be in the association of others who are not Krishna conscious, and how does he or she not get affected by their non-Krishna conscious attitude? Which is a very good question, especially for those of us who are not living full-time and simply doing temple devotional service. Those of us who are still in the material world. So, we must remember what Krishna says in chapter 8 of Bhagavad Gita. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara yudyacha. And I've given this example hundreds of times. Arjuna is about to fight this war. What could be more fragile a situation? Death could happen at any second. So Krishna tells Arjuna, yes, you have to fight, and at the same time, think of me. So I look at that and I go, wait a second. Arjuna has to fight. There's Brahmastra weapons coming this way, chariots, horses, bombs, arrows, and he has to think of Krishna. So what's in your wallet? What's my excuse? Krishna, I can't think of you because I got to drive on the 405 freeway. There should be no excuse for any of us. Krishna is expecting Arjuna to fight this war and at the same time think of him. So nobody should have any excuse. I can't think of Krishna. I got to do my housework. I can't think of Krishna because I got to maintain this job. No. Krishna does not give Arjuna or any of us any leeway. So it's up to us to remember Krishna at every step. Now, how to do that? Therefore, Srila Prabhupada has stipulated, remembrance of Krishna is not possible unless you chant the Maha Mantra. So let's all chant. In other words, if I don't get up and chant the Hare Krishna mantra, I am not going to be able to remember Krishna throughout the day. That's why the devotee gets up early. It is just like this. When you get up in the morning, the modes of nature, they're not nice. They're attacking. Now, the early hours, the mode of goodness is flowing, so they're not as stringent as they will be as the day progresses. So we take advantage of the facility offered by the modes of nature. The early morning hours are conducive to spiritual life. So early to bed, early to rise makes someone Krishna conscious and wise. So you have to get to bed early so that you can get up early. And Prabhupada recommends as soon as you get out of bed, Hare Krishna, because the modes are attacking. And the best defense is a good offense. So you know that we have, there's a bell at the door of the temple. When devotees enter, they ring the bell. So I have a good devotee friend. His name is Vaisheshika Das. And many, many years ago, he visited the temple. And when he rang the bell, he went like this. He rang the bell and he went as if he was a prize fighter. You know, fighters do that. And I never forgot that. Because we are prize fighters. We are fighting Maya. We are fighting ignorance. We are fighting the material consciousness. We are warriors. So we have to be fired up. And the best way is loud chanting. Everyone loudly.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Now, Prabhupada writes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that for someone such as yourself, you should do some chanting in the morning, some chanting in the afternoon, and some chanting in the evening, because more likely than not, you're not going to be able to do. How many rounds are you, can I ask, how many rounds you're doing every day?
Usually 2-3 rounds.
Very good. And do you do it every day without fail? I gotcha. You got to do it every day. It's just like when a doctor prescribes medicine, you may have to take it so many days at certain times every day. And it's very important to keep that. And the doctor will say, if you miss, then take it. So the japa rounds is our medicine given by Dr. Prabhupada. And we have to take our medicine. We have to take our spiritual meds. This is transcendental. Lord Chaitanya says, Enechi Aushodhi Maya. Remember I spoke about that at San Diego last time? Enechi Aushodhi, I have brought the medication, Aushodhi, to wipe out Maya. Okay? So, whether it's 2 or 3, but do it every day without fail. Take your spiritual medication so that you'll build up some kind of tolerance. Okay? So get up early. Chant in the morning as much as you can. Do a little. Can you do a little bit in the middle of the day? Or is that very good? And do some at night. Then we can get our level up. Because that is what's going to help you maintain that consciousness. Because you have to understand, by living in the material world and associating with non-devotees, imperceptibly you get contaminated. All of us. We don't even realize how contaminated we're getting. So it's very good that you come to the temple. How often do you come to the temple?
Twice.
Very good. That will help you cleanse and get free of that bad association, because it will imperceptibly affect you. The more you become stronger, then it won't affect you so much. But in these beginning stages, we have to be very, very careful. So read. Are you reading every day? Good. And you're chanting, and you come to the temple. That you want to do as much as possible so that you get some immunity. We have to build your immune system from Maya. Otherwise, we will get spiritual AIDS. And we don't want to get spiritual AIDS. Spiritual AIDS means you never chant. You never come to the temple. You never associate with devotees. You have spiritual AIDS. You're dead. But as soon as you associate with devotees, chant, read Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, you're getting healthy. You're getting healthy. getting healthy. And the question then becomes, when do I stop taking my medicine? You stop taking your medicine when your medicine tastes like candy. I have a grandson. Ever since he was born, he doesn't have a sweet tooth. He has sweet teeth. He loves candy. Even we would hide it, the little guy would figure out where it was. So this Hare Krishna mantra is the sweetest of the sweetest of the sweetest thing. But we don't perceive it as such. But we go on taking this Maha Mantra, and when we're fully cured of avidya, ignorance, then we will taste the sweetness of this Maha Mantra, and you won't be able to stop, because it'll be, oh my God. In other words, we have not yet chanted. We haven't really tasted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. We're practicing. We're getting healthy. Because when you really taste the Maha Mantra, you know, on the altar, Gorni Thai is like this. That's why they're like this. They're ecstatic. Hari Bol. They can't stop chanting. The drunkard, right? The drunkard is always looking for the next drink. Don't get any ideas. This is just water. The drunkard is always looking for the next drink. Before becoming a devotee, I used to play music in a bar in Greenwich Village in New York. And the last hour the bar was open, all the local drunks would come in. All right? And you would see that they simply lived to drink. You could just see it. They simply lived day to day to get another drink. So we have to get to that stage where we are drinking this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and like a drunkard can't get enough. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Does that help you with your question? Are you satisfied? Good. Question? Yes, my good friend. Ah, I knew somebody was going to ask that question sooner or later. Very good. Excellent. So my friend here has asked a very pertinent question. How do I know what is my prescribed duty? There are two ways you determine your prescribed duty. Actually, three ways. Guru, sadhu, and shastra. The focal point is the shastra. By studying Bhagavad Gita, you should come to some general idea of what is my prescribed position. In the Varnashram institution, you have Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. Then you have Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. So, if by reading Bhagavad Gita you're still not clear, then you should ask a sadhu or saintly person, somebody that you respect with good spiritual knowledge. Like, I think you respect Omkar Das here, right? He was preaching to you all day, answering questions and explaining. So he is a good person. You could ask him, Prabhuji, what do you think is my prescribed duty? Then, when you come in contact with a bona fide spiritual master, someone who you have complete faith in, someone you have no doubts about, and someone that you're ready to dedicate life after life for serving, then you can also inquire from him, what is your prescribed duty? Now there's a material prescribed duty and a spiritual prescribed duty. Material prescribed duty is not as important as spiritual prescribed duty. Your spiritual prescribed duty Hare Nama Eva Kevalam. Chant incessantly. That's your spiritual prescribed duty. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam. Kalo Nastyeva, 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 Gatir Anyata. In this age of Kali, the age of quarrel, confusion, hypocrisy, politics, that's the age of Kali. There's only one solution to everything. Chant the Hare Krishna Mahama. Everyone, please chant.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare.
Now your material prescribed duty. So do you accept what I'm saying so far? All right. Do you agree that your spiritual prescribed duty is more important than your material? That's important, because some people will say no. But you, do you buy that?
Of course.
Oh, of course. So now your material prescribed duty should be something that will assist and nurture your primary prescribed duty. Now, how old? You're a young man, 17. You're going to school. So, according to Bhagavad Gita, you're not married, right? You got a girlfriend on the side? Oh, we'll talk about that later. But basically, you're in what is called student life, all right? So, you are going to school probably with some idea of getting some job in the material world, yes? All right. So that job you select has to be a job that is not going to interfere with your spiritual prescribed duty. What, now that you have concluded, well, this chanting, my spiritual life, that's priority, then anything else I decide has to be something that's going to facilitate that. You follow, catch my drift. You're not going to want to choose a profession or a path of life where your spiritual prescribed duty suffers. All right? So as you progress in your life, always keep that in mind. Every decision you make from here on in, you have to ask yourself, this decision that I'm making, how is it going to affect my spiritual prescribed duty? That's how I've always done it in my life. Whatever decision I make, I always ask myself, how is this going to affect my hearing and chanting and my preaching? Once you got your priority set, everything falls into place. Make sense? All right. Now I want to see you every Thursday night here. Okay? All right. So let us now get ready for Arti, the doors will open any second.